Before we pray, let us read a wonderful word in Psalms, Psalms 33, from verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. So far this word. Then we have a special prayer petition, which was laid here, which we'll bring to the Lord for our precious sister Ruschke, who has reached already an old age. And then I have special greetings of the dear family Herbert Keller, who stay in Canada. Our brother Ehrensberger received these greetings from his son-in-law Herbert Keller, and herewith I have extended them, and I ask to greet again. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we look up to you. We thank you for your precious and holy word that you kept for us until this hour. That you revealed unto us in such a wonderful way, Almighty God, who are we, that we may speak with you, that we may come nigh to you. We do it because we believe that Jesus Christ, our Lord, on the cross of Calvary, he took upon himself the wrath of God, carried the guilt, atoned for the sin, and reconciled us with God. As the reconciled ones, we come now to you, and we ask you, speak today and work through your word and through your spirit in a very special way. Lord, give grace that we don't look on that what people or the enemy does, but looking on you and see the work of your hands in our midst and in our lives, thanking you for it with all our hearts. Faithful Savior, we place this meeting consciously under the coverage of your blood. We ask you for the leading of your Holy Spirit. Faithful Lord, look graciously on your people. Bless, Lord, your inheritance. Lead it on the right way, so that the enemy cannot destroy it. Lord, we ask you, strengthen us today in the faith. Save who is not yet saved. Heal, deliver from the evil. Make free. May your gospel become a new, the power of God. Lord our God, receive the praise, the honor, the glory, and the worship from eternity to eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Firstly, I would like to extend many heartfelt greetings from all our brothers and sisters from India. I traveled for almost 3 weeks through India, and there, altogether, more than 6,000 kilometers are behind me, flying, driving, as it just took place. Many are sending heartfelt greetings to you, and especially Brother Arthur Davis, who was once here a couple of years ago. At this place, he gave a short testimony. He asked in particular that I greet all of you here in Zurich very warmly from India. Let us now look at some words from the Holy Scripture. It's to me, perhaps I should give here one more example. It was in the city Madras, when the pastor of this denomination heard my speech, and then he came to me and he asked me whether I would not have time the next day for a conversation, and I said, with pleasure. He had two questions connected to one another. With what right do you claim that Brother Branham was the last prophet sent by God before the return of the Lord? This was the first question. And the second, which belongs actually to it, was, if it is like that, then why did not all the churches recognize his ministry? And you can of course imagine that two such questions were for me something very precious. They could have not been formulated in a better way. And as God really always helps me, so it also happened that time. I said, dear friend, not I will answer, but I will let God answer by saying nothing, but just reading the scriptures which testify of it. And what shall I tell you? I read a number of scriptures, and the man jumped up, reaches his hand over the table, and says, God gave me the answer. I have now recognized it from the scriptures. And then he told me, Brother so-and-so was here, and Brother so-and-so. And they always said, the prophet said, and so forth. And he said, you are the first who has taken the Bible and who let God speak through his word. He came around the table and he said, from today on, this church is also yours. Every time when you come, you may preach the word here. And he even asked about the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, God is faithful, and we don't have to worry. If he sends us, then he lays the words which we shall say, which we shall read, into our hearts. And then he speaks from heart to heart, through his word and through his spirit. To me, the word of prophecy, of course, became great to me during these days, because it is the divine orientation. People who in this time have not the prophetic part of the plan of salvation, who don't see it, who don't got it revealed, they cannot have an orientation. They may write about all subjects about which they like to write or report, about Israel, about Russia, about Reagan, about coal, and what goes with it. But only who truly, by the grace of God, and this I mean now, in all seriousness, until the last consequence, whosoever does not recognize the prophetic commission sent by God for this last prophetic age, he is on the wrong track in his supposed wisdom. God's prophetic word is the bright light which shines in a dark place. That's how Peter already wrote it then, and that's how it is even today. Whosoever walks with God, he can impossibly bypass his word and his promises. To me, some scriptures stood out to me, and I would like to read them today. You hear enough sermons of Brother Branham, you get them on a monthly basis, and you can deepen yourself in the Holy Scripture. In the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, from verse 11, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left. So far, this verse. The term, the second time. In those days, and you all know, there was the first coming of the Lord, and there is the second coming of the Lord. There was the leading out, the exodus of Israel from Egypt with a strong hand, and at the end of days, God stretches forth his arm to call his people back from all the world to gather them, because the time has come for it. In chapter 13, it is written of the day of the Lord. and I want to show you the connection from the Old and New Testament. Isaiah 13 from verse 2. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation, to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. We live in a time in which we can count on and must count on that the last things of which it is written will come to fulfillment. And if we, and this we must, look at the political climate, that what is happening, then we notice that everything works toward this one goal. And I want that we take the three things which Brother Branham prophetically put into the focus, that we take them to heart. There are three things which will take place. The sequence is up to God. One thing, it's always about Israel, but that will only come right at the end, because there the great host will suffer its great defeat and find its end. Everything else that has to come and will come, that comes before, because there is the end. This you can read in the prophet Ezekiel 36 to 38, in the prophet Joel 2 and 3, and many other scriptures. But it also speaks of the Vatican and also of the destruction of the United States. And if we speak about these things, then not because we enjoy it, not because we want it to be, but because we respect God in His decisions and believe that whatever happens will be done rightly, and that God will not have to apologize to anyone. We see that the things are moving there now, already politically, that the Vatican is included into the things to then make this peace, which is about to fail, which was not here yet, and that never will be there. That will only be a false peace for a moment, that the things are now coming together in order to initiate the final phase. The politicians have lost trust in one another. They need a neutral person whom they can trust, as they say. But also this one day will become different, because according to Brother Branham, a bomb will fall onto the Vatican, and you can read it up in Revelation 18. There is written three times in a row that in one single hour this great city was destroyed. Here my concern is about the term which Paul describes in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 in verse 3. It says, "For the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another." Read to this with me from the New Testament, in the Epistle to the Thessalonians, and you will see how prophets and apostles wrote and spoke by the same Holy Spirit. It says here in 1 Thessalonians 5 from verse 2, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Have we not read the same in the prophet Isaiah? Here, Paul didn't stop with it, but he writes in verse 4, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." Even if the whole world, all the inhabitants of the earth, is totally surprised and short-taken, yet there are people on earth who will not be surprised, because Paul writes, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." And here it speaks of the day of the Lord. And now we come to the core of the sending of the last prophet. In the last verses of the last prophet in the Old Testament, it is written, "I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes." Why Are we not in darkness concerning these things? Because we are better than others? No, because God gave us the opportunity to take His divine speaking seriously, hearkening to His voice in these days, and to take it to heart what He has to say to us. On that day that the Lord has reserved to execute His judgment, some pious people and gatherings and fellowships will experience their greatest surprise. You cannot bypass God and His Word and then think to end up with Him and to say, "Hallelujah, here I am. Are you not happy, dear Savior, that I have come?" That's not how it works with God. God sends His Word, and He requires of the people who want to stand their ground before Him that they respect Him and His Word, that they receive and that they believe what He has to say. Those who cannot do that lack the first, namely the fear of God. And the fear of God is at the beginning of the divine wisdom. Where is the divine wisdom when the fear of God is not there at all? May the Lord give it to us by His grace, that we have this fear of God in us, and this every day of our life. May come what may come. In the prophet Joel, in chapter 3, the well-known words are written, which Peter quoted in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." God has given salvation, and all who believe with all their heart, not reasoning with their mind, but who believe with their heart. Also about this we spoke already. Abraham, outwardly, he could sense with his senses that his body and the body of Sarah were dead in their natural functions. But He staggered not what his natural senses noticed through unbelief, but believed what was in his heart, namely the word of God, the promise, and trusted the Lord, despite sensing that what earthly speaking was happening around him. The same applies to all of us. If we would look on that, what is outwardly happening around us, then one would like to take the head into both hands and say, Lord, continue with whom you like. But because we have the word of God as a promise, and this, in the coming days and months, and even there are years which the Lord gives us, we will still emphasize it. The word of the divine promise is the Alpha and Omega. For that, what God can do in the life of a person for eternity. We emphasized it many times that a seed is necessary for the birth. And perhaps we will have to write about it, because verbally one cannot deal with it in its entirety. What happened before Christ, the Word, became flesh? There was a virgin, and she said, I know of no man. Do you think it is just written like that in Matthew 25? Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. At the end of days, at the end of the time of grace, God will have people who spiritually will have a virgin-like womb and who do not commit spiritual fornication, but who are born of the divine seed of the Word, and who receive this divine seed of the promise into the virgin-like womb of their heart. When this happened with Mary, it was not yet the end. The word of promise came to her, and then came the Spirit of God upon her and brought forth the word which was laid into her. And that's what is important in these days. Not about discussions, about statements of Brother Branham, but about the core of the divine message and of the promises of his word for these days, which are heard by God's people and which must be believed. Everyone can sit somewhere and have a discussion with others, saying many things and also complain, but by this nothing happens yet. As it was with Christ, our Redeemer, so it must be with all the redeemed. Being led out purified and separated of all what is not in conformity with God and His Word, so that a new field can be plowed and the divine seed can be sown into the heart which was prepared. The best seed, the most expensive corn of wheat, is useless if it just lies somewhere without having been sown. And merely sowing arbitrary on the wayside, on thorns, thistles, and here and there, will not produce the final and hundredfold fruit. But at that point of time, before the return of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is likened unto 10 virgins. With this, the true believers are meant in these days, untouched, undefiled, kept for God, to receive His holy word. Also about this we have spoken, that we all come from various denominations, which brought forth a mixed proclamation, a mixed seed and harvest. But now, this phase has come to its end. And God wants that the pure seed of His Word is sown. And if we should be here a little intolerant, so we are for the sake of the Lord. No doctrine, no opinion, no tradition has room anymore. There, where God's word has been put upon the lampstand, there it should be clear that all private interpretations and traditions are really no longer in place. For instance, I spoke with somebody, and he was of the opinion that every believer who dies does not remain in the coffin, but within 3 days the body is taken up. And it's neither in the Holy Scripture nor is it correct. But I knew in my heart, if people have such an unbiblical doctrine in them, will God mix His word into it? This is impossible. And luckily, I was present at the burial of Brother Branham, who was buried quite some time later than when he died, and I stood right next to the coffin. And it's just not true. I just mentioned this one example to make it clear to you that all the hundreds of teachings that people have held to be so precious, as if they thought that salvation depends on it. Let me say it to you in love. If you want to belong to them who in these last days want to be the true virgins set and chosen by God, then leave everything aside what is not in conformity with that what God revealed in this time and for this time from His Word. Otherwise, you yourself will fall on the wayside. some who thought they could take a lot of good things with them and mix it with the old. They are, and this we say, out of deep sorrow, in the course of the years, sometime they fell by the wayside. We want to show God enough reverence and say, Lord, you have spoken. Your revealed word are the promises for these days, which as the divine seed are laid into us. No more mixing. This brother so-and-so said, this he or she said, but a clear discernment and separation of all, and I say it on purpose once again, what God has not revealed in this time and for this time through the last message, everything what was before might have had here and there some good things in it. Nobody denies that, but it were not the words of the divine revelation. The time for this point of time was not yet come. Now it is here. God claims his people, and the restoration may not remain a message about which we discuss. It must become reality, which testifies of itself. And this we believe with all our hearts. Our God, who gave the promise, watches over his word to fulfill it in us. Did Mary have to make efforts? Did she have to wrestle and supplicate and pray and cry? She only had to do one thing: to have been chosen by God to receive the promise of the divine word, and to say, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the Holy Spirit came upon her, and the power of the Most High overshadowed her, and the word became flesh, and Christ was born. That's how it will be at the end with the bride church, souls of God who are determined to receive his word of the divine promise for this time in them, and to say, be it unto me according to thy word, for I am yours, O Lord. Is this not a wonderful thought? A preciousness of God. No efforts anymore. Just being included, being put into it, into the kingdom of God, into the plan of God, into the program of God in this time. Is this not the greatest what God can give unto a man on this earth? To place him into his plan, into his program, into his intention, into his kingdom, to reveal himself to him, to speak with him. But one thing you may believe me. The Lord knew that Mary would receive, that she would believe, that she is chosen for it. If rebellion, if unbelief, if self-righteousness and all kinds of things are still there, then we are not yet so far that God could do with us what he purposed to do. But he works toward it. God works toward it. Time is running out. The announcement is given. The word of the divine promise is here. Dear heart, can you say before God, I mix no more. I want to be free from all teachings, from all customs, from all Christian traditions. My heart belongs to God. And because it belongs to him, therefore he will lay his word into it. And because he will lay his word into it, therefore he will come with his spirit upon this word which lays in our hearts, making the word alive. And who can then glory? No man. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord, and say, my God, I, wretched man, was chosen by you, the Holy God. To receive your word, who am I? And already tears roll down from a bowed heart and a humble spirit, that God has approached us in such a way, giving us the grace to recognize the time and the hour, the messenger and the message. Right at the end, before the harvest, the pure seed of the word promised and revealed by God for this time must be sown in pure hearts, so that the Holy Spirit can quicken it and make it a reality. Otherwise, we will be like virgins who receive the word, but upon whom the Spirit cannot come. And in the end, we are still foolish, because we did not walk in obedience every step with God. But I want, as Paul says in Hebrews 6, I am of the opinion that you will continue to believe as you have done up to now. We have not followed the Lord all these years in vain. All of the work cannot be lost in the sand. No, even if it looks like that sometimes. God the Lord has for everything the time and the hour. Everything what he promised through the mouth of his holy servants and prophets, this he will make a reality in our days, in your and in my life. no matter what may come or what may go. We are not directed of that what sometimes goes on in our heads, but we hold fast to that what God has laid into our hearts. And we ponder on and we keep all the words of promise of our God in our hearts. And then we can even say, even my soul and body withers away, yet you, O God, will remain my consolation and my trust. May the living God, through his living Spirit, soon make his living word an actual reality in his living church. People who will walk with God until the end. They are the ones who may then reach their destination, and they will see the Lord, our God, who spoke so wonderfully and who sent his servant and prophet to bring us the last message, so that the last move of God could be introduced. All this we see and recognize, because God does nothing unless he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And this he has done. And this divine revelation we received as an inheritance. And we rejoice with all our hearts about it. And thus, our faith is not just a general faith, but a goal-orientated faith that is aligned according to the Word of God and anchored in the promises of God for this time. And this, you may believe me, to believe what happened in the days of Moses. This was even easy for the scribes and to the Sadducees and Pharisees. They believed it very nicely. But to believe what happened then, this was important. And what does Brother Branham say? The people thank God always for that what he did. And they are looking forward to that what he will still do, and are bypassing what he is doing right now. And this is the trouble. But the people of God does not bypass what God is doing now. Why not? Because he did not bypass us. And if we say humbly, on all on whom the Lord passes by, without speaking to them, they will be the ones who will bypass everything what God will still do. Let us therefore be thankful that he addressed us and that he led us into his word. The day of the Lord will come. The things, God's reckoning will come. But before all this comes, the bride church must be called out, must be prepared and completed. We have just a short time left. This short time, we want to make use of it, believing deeply what God has to say to us in these days. We are grateful that we recognized the divine message for this time and also the messenger sent by God. With this, we come to the close and we can just say, Lord, receive us today. We want, as Mary then, we want to have a pure bosom of our heart, making it available so that your pure and holy word of promise can fall into it and your spirit can come upon it to bring it to life. I think we have understood God today in his speaking. If this is so, then at least say Amen. God bless you. Let us stand up and pray. We want to bow our heads, closing our eyes, persevering in prayer before God. Perhaps some are still here who have not yet dedicated their lives to God, who have not yet recognized the importance of the divine promises and of the divine message for this time. We like to pray for you so that the Lord with his grace can come upon you, speaking to your hearts, and that also you understand not the arguments in the mind bring us to the destination, but the faith in the heart, in the Word of God, which we heard and received while we are in the presence of the Lord. I would like to ask if somebody wishes to be prayed for, raise briefly your hand and put them down again. God sees it. God bless you. It's partly new visitors, friends. In a gathering, you cannot have an overall view and you cannot judge. Every service is different. Today, the Lord led us to emphasize his word as the seed for this time and to put the weight on it. Other services are more evangelistic or also teaching. Nevertheless, the Lord called you, and for this I'm grateful, that God, even no evangelistic sermon was preached, God speaks to people, that he draws them to himself, that he works in their hearts. This is a sign that he is present and that he confirms his word, and that it doesn't return void, but that it accomplishes for what he has sent it for. O blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, you faithful God, for this service and for your holy word, for the divine fact that we heard you in these days, and even more, that we understood your speaking. O God, thank you from the depth of our soul, of all of us, who we are dust and ashes, that you looked at us graciously, and that you drew us to yourself because of your love. Faithful Lord, bless all who raise their hands, who want to lay their lives upon your altar, to serve you, to follow you, to believe you, to trust you. Lord, let them succeed and help them in a very mighty way. Lord, may they now, there where they are now, may they feel that the hand of God comes upon them, and that God has led them here because he wants to save them and pardon them. Lord, I thank you. You have done it. Your blood covers their and our guilt, makes us bright and pure. Faithful Lord, O God, let us all recognize the longer the more of what it's all about. Sift with a fine sieve, and may the wheat remain in your presence, O Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you that this message sounds forth as the last one into all the world. Thank you for this great privilege to see so many people whom you loved, whom you pardoned, whom you called out, and to whom you revealed yourself as unto us. Lord, all who have come into trouble, all who were influenced, all who were injured, Lord, you know their inner conflict. O God, intervene with your mighty right hand and give to your people the victory of Calvary. Hallelujah. Praise and honor, glory and worship be unto you, faithful Lord. Every prophecy was fulfilled on you. Also, I will not suffer that my Holy One sees corruption, nor that his soul is left in hell. You are risen, for the word has said it. Hallelujah. O God in heaven, the same will take place with all of the church of the living God. And with this is meant the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. Lord, as in you, the Redeemer, every word became true and found fulfillment up to the taking up into glory. So every promise and every word will be fulfilled in the bright church, up to the rapture and the meeting in the air and to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. For you are the one who has spoken with us. And we thank you that we could hear it and believe it, and that the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, Amen.